This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Studios live from Radio Row in New Orleans. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
That's right. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, live on Radio Row. It's been a very eventful day. Unbelievable. Brian's over here talking with an old football buddy. You got Chief video conferencing with his family over there making amends. Zach Wolchuk is in the house. Lucius is back at the Pimp Cup. You just missed LA Live. If you want to go back and listen to it with the Odyssey app, you can do that. Instant rewind functionality. Go back and listen to any segment of the day here on The Fan. It's kind of like a podcast app dang near for you, for The Fan here. So appreciate you checking that out. Let's get a Chuck Wagon. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, let's do it. And we start with some NFL news here at the Super Bowl. And we go to Green Bay, a place Brian Broaddus knows very well. Now, Josh Jacobs was a rare free agent addition for Green Bay, and he was pretty darn good this year. One of the top rushers in all of the National Football League. And after year one with Green Bay, he's out here on Radio Row, 97.3 The Game, Milwaukee radio station. And he had this to say about their wide receiver core.
That and then obviously we got a really young group of receivers. All can be really, really, really special. But I think personally we need a guy that's proven to be a number one already. Mm-hmm. So somebody that's going to, we know it's going to be a little bit more consistent.
That maybe played here before?
If he come at the right price, tell him to slide. You know, I've had to talk to Tate.
So, obviously, Josh Jacobs did play with Devontae Adams there in Vegas, and that would be who they're referring to. However, the rest of the Green Bay Packers receivers have not taken this well. Dontavian Wicks took to Twitter, laughing emojis with the thumbs down, quote, tweeting that. So, I don't know how well that's going to work in the Packers receiving room when, like, one of their fellow teammates is saying, yeah, I don't believe that any of these guys are true bona fide number ones. But that was something during the season we had discussed. Like Matt LaFleur said, he thinks that's a benefit, right? He likes that. All these guys can play different positions at any given game. One of them can step up and lead the team, and they're unselfish. But it does appear that I don't know that any of them are really stepping up in the way that they were hoping maybe a Christian Watson would. That's injury-related. Maybe Devontae Adams returning to Lambeau could be a good move. I could see if the Jets release or trade him, he might come at a low cost, and going back to Green Bay, probably should have never left.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a perfectly timed trade if they can pull that off and bring in a player like that. I really like Watson, you know, but it's clear they need more firepower on
the
other side.
And he just can't stay healthy. That's the problem. And he torched the Cowboys, and he is a big play threat, but health has been a big issue. I do want to remind everybody, if you go to 105.3 The Fan, and you can look at the fan dog adoptions through Dallas Animal Services on our website. We did get a couple of dogs adopted. Lucius, I think actually your dog got adopted. I don't see Lucius here anymore. I don't know if that was your wife adopting Lucius, but Lucius is unavailable.
Like he was just saying about you not listening.
Oh, did he just say that?
I believe yesterday he mentioned the...
No, yesterday we
the hardest job in the nation right now.
Yesterday you did. You did, for sure. I remember
crazy
that.
Crazy pills.
Not today. Not today. Chops is still available. Wooly Bully still available. Seeger. We now have Seeger that's available. And Majors. Majors has himself a dog, formerly named Gus, that they've changed to Majors. So go ahead and check that out. Get your donations and find these dogs a good home.
Ron, I do think General is a really good name for
maybe,
a dog.
Maybe General will be next up on the list. Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe we get a Krusty.
I kind of like Gavi.
Oh, they have a big Great Dane over there. I mean, that'd be kind of cool.
Ooh, that would be good. That
maybe
would
an
be
English
good.
Bulldog.
That'd fit
like that.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera says he's returning to Cal to help the football program. Actually, saw him. Ron working with Mina Kimes earlier today on Radio Row. But this is a trend now. We got these former NFL coaches going back to the college roots. It's not the first time it's happened, but now we just had Bill Belichick. Now Ron Rivera, University of Cal, his alma mater, going to go help the football program. So we'll see if there's success there. Maybe he ends up taking another job in the NFL eventually, but this could be a good fit for him.
Yeah, I think it's great for guys that the NFL has decided they don't want to offer head coaching jobs to, because now the college programs need that skill set.
Well, they also need the experience of, like, professional football.
Yeah,
because that's what colleges are. They become professional football teams, you know. Mike Lombardi's loving being at North Carolina, loving it. Even I'm like, all the recruiting and it's
they're
fun.
Digging it.
Just you like know what Abbott, he's there
like,
for.
Yeah, it's like being a general manager of an NFL team. We pay these guys and we recruit them. We try and steal them. You know, we do all these things. So,
man, Chiafalo's over there shivering like he's in a Cowboys pregame show.
Chilly.
It is cold in here. I'm freezing in here. And it doesn't help that I'm just generally uncomfortable, you know.
We just had a good FaceTime. Was that
the stress?
Did that not go
well?
No,
it didn't go well because that was a one-on-one FaceTime with just my oldest daughter.
Oh.
My wife did not make an appearance at all.
She usually does?
Yeah, she usually will acknowledge my existence, but that was not one of those. So,
gosh, dang it.
At least my daughter's not upset at me. So that's... You know, I'm just looking for all the positives.
Yeah, if you want to go back and listen to our Paige Sporanic interview from about 2:20 to 2:32, you know, and then jump into the 5 o'clock segment, you'll get all caught up.
Yeah, yeah, we really had to get a little vulnerable there. Mm-hmm. It was therapeutic, but I'm still just, you know, no appetite,
distraught,
just not good.
I have to say, there's this Rice Krispie treat in front of you,
and I don't even have interest in it.
You didn't touch it.
I mean, I just know whatever that delicious sandwich.
There's
you
a sandwich
just
right here.
Ike's sandwich is really good.
I couldn't put it down right now.
Come
I really
on.
Couldn't.
Come
I'm
on,
dead
guy.
Serious.
You want a little Sammy?
No, like for me, whenever I'm like in a bad place, I lose my appetite. You know, I think there's some people that maybe, you know, you want to overeat, perhaps, like that's the way that your body responds to stress.
You stress eat.
Mine is the opposite. So.
It's a blessing.
Might lose some weight tonight.
It's the bright side.
It's good.
Glass half full.
I could use it after last night's overconsumption.
Yeah, you were going ham last night. I appreciate
those
it.
Fried chicken sandwiches, man.
Yeah, you were right. You were right. They did have some really good. And then the chicken strips were just like a tempura batter.
Did you guys get in front into the burger beignet line?
No.
Okay,
it was just too long.
I did, but they kept having to like stop for a while because they couldn't keep up with the amount of people. So we're like, hey, we're still cooking. So I just kind of moved on, and then. It regrettably didn't circle back, and Ruben was saying that was like the best thing
damn it
that was there.
Probably
I mean, if you really think about it, a beignet burger?
Yeah. That's like a donut burger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like the funnel cake burger they had at the fair.
And even if it was sitting in front of me right now, I don't even think I'd take more than a bite.
I think you would.
But you would definitely take a bite.
I think you'd eat the whole thing.
You'd house that.
I would.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, you know, you're having a rough day, but don't go that far.
It's not that bad.
All right. Well, you're trying to usher in the nickname for Fat Rule. Right, you want a Fat Rule story?
Yeah, I do.
This is not a cool one here for Fat Rule. Now, last year, Nebraska drew 60,452 fans to Memorial Stadium for their spring game. Well, now he doesn't want to do the spring game.
Doesn't want to show the people that might poach all his players.
Yeah, which is, I mean, everybody's doing a spring game, and this is also not good for the revenue that is generated from said spring game. So there's the aspect of the revenue that spring game typically generates. As of 2014, reserve tickets for Nebraska's spring game, $15 with club seats, $25 Then you got youth high school age and under will be admitted to $5. So it's not free to just go. So they're able to make a bunch of money. And then, of course, the bars and restaurants all around there. I mean, I've talked about it before. I did get to go to one Nebraska game, and it's literally like the entire state of Nebraska shows up at Lincoln on a game day. The same thing would happen here for the spring game. So with all the tampering stuff, he said, I dealt with a lot of people offering our players a lot of opportunities to go out and bring in a bunch of new players, showcase them for all the other schools to watch. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know. Maybe other schools are going to follow suit.
Wrong. I don't think he's wrong. I really don't.
I think
I'm sorry,
you're
Nebraska,
messing with tradition here.
I'm sorry, Austin and everywhere else. But, man, I tell you, college football recruiting or keeping your team together and all that, it's tougher than ever. It is tougher than ever. So anything that you want to do, I mean, I know these coaches, they say they're paranoid and all that, but why give somebody a free look at your players? You know, I wouldn't do it.
No, I don't think it's paranoia in this day and age. You know, I think you have to go on the defensive, you know, and not let anybody see your players.
I'm just telling you, man, you're like, if I was a team that's struggling and I know that my job depended on me going to get players, yeah, I'm going to Nebraska spring game. I'm going to USC spring game. I'm going to Alabama spring game. I'm gonna hit all these.
Scouting you.
I'm gonna scout all these guys up. I'm going to watch your team play, and I'm going to, and that, you know, talking to Mike Lombardi, I know we're saying about him in North Carolina, they're treating these other college programs like NFL teams. Like you're breaking their rosters down, and like who they have available, who are their seniors, who are potential portals, who do you have relationships with that you know that you can. Their agent, or you can spend money on, or who do we need to go after? I mean, you're in constant defend mode when you're playing it for these colleges.
I just got an update about your coach, Broadus, at LSU.
What did Brian Kelly do? Did he ask for more money?
Brian Kelly disputes claim he abandoned former player who had surgery to remove a brain tumor.
What's our guy's our player's name? He was a safety.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Oh,
I just got the ESPN
there?
Notification
it's a,
about
it's
it.
It's a horrible story. It's a horrible story when you listen to his side of the story, and knowing some of the things about Brian Kelly, it wouldn't surprise me that this kid,
Greg Brooks Jr.
Yeah, Greg Brooks. He's struggling right now very badly. Almost died, and you know he's saying that the coaches, they haven't talked to him. It's 2023.
Yeah. He had the surgery to remove a brain tumor in September of 23. In an interview on Good Morning America on Monday, the kid's dad said that his family hadn't heard from Kelly or anyone on LSU's coaching staff since shortly after the surgery.
Mm. That's tough, man.
Very tough.
Yeah, you got to handle that better.
Sorry, boys, I've been distracted. We have a somewhat noisy debate happening about 100
feet
to our
left. Couple. That's the Odd Couple over there. That's on Fox.
I think a viral moment might be in the making.
What's my guy's name? Oh, jeez.
What are they fighting about? Can you hear?
Oh, I see.
Oh, it's
him
Rob
now.
Parker.
Rob Parker's one of them. Yeah,
I can't believe he's still employed.
When I'm doing my podcast after everybody's done, they're usually still fighting.
Intense sports debate kind of deal.
Oh,
man, it's back in that corner. There's testy debates right and left. When I went to the restroom last break, two writers were in each other's faces over Eli Manning Hall of Fame. I'm like, guys,
oh, geez.
Have a beer.
Well, it gets passionate. I mean, I had to have a DAT conversation with Bobby last night. It's just ridiculous with him. Okay, we also have Pat Riley has reached a deal with the NFL and the Chiefs to use the repeat. So they're cleared. Okay, they went ahead and
paid him off.
This is such a great move for Pat Riley, but they reached an agreement with his camp to use the phrase on various merchandise if the Chiefs are able to win their third straight Super Bowl by beating the Eagles. Riley originated that trademark in 89 when the Lakers three-peated. So the new trademark, which he filed in 2014 to use three-peat on any jewelry and sports memorabilia when the Miami Heat, when he was with the Heat there, he filed that. So now I don't have the exactly what the agreement is. I think he can make more than $1 million, according to Joe Pompliano, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl based on merchandise sales. So either way, you're a big winner here, Pat Riley. But I'm glad now they're able to use three-peat and they don't have to try and find a creative way around this. And it's just like Chiefs-peat or something else. It's a three-peat, baby. That's what it is.
Yeah, let's call it what it is. You know, I'm just disappointed that, you know, a word can be just owned like that. That's weird to me.
Trademark it. It is. Okay, Lucius, I need your help here. We got some boxing news. Now, I saw a couple days ago Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford have agreed to a contract for a September boxing fight. But then I just saw today that Jake Paul and Canelo are in very preliminary talks for a May boxing fight. So I don't know if this would be Canelo would do both. Like, he just thinks, all right, this is going to be light work May 3rd in Vegas. If they end up signing the Jake Paul fight, I can't believe he's actually going to do this. And then in September, he turns around and fights Crawford. I don't know why. Maybe that's a tune-up. Maybe he's looking at this as like, this is a warm-up to get ready for Bud. But either way, big news for Canelo. I don't know if you've heard any more information on this, Lucius.
No, I haven't heard any information. And I don't know if like how serious it is yet, because it's been cooking around for about a month already. I'm talking about the Crawford and Canelo situation, which I'm here for.
Yeah, I want to see
Crawford would have to come all the way up.
Do you think he'd have a chance to win?
Yeah, he's got a chance to win. He's got a chance to win, but, you know, who knows? I
mean, he was so impressive against Errol Spence.
Yeah, he was.
You know, I haven't followed his career that closely, but from my understanding, like, the way that he was able to show out against Spence isn't typical. He struggled against,
yes,
you know, lesser fighters.
Yes. When you have, like, a little herky-jerky move, the last guy he fought had this herky-jerky move that Crawford could not just, he couldn't find his place with it. So, you know, that may be a good heads up for Canelo to look at. But Canelo has a lot of power in his punch that slows Crawford down because he has to go up there, you know, to that weight and fight him. Man.
Is Canelo still young enough to dominate?
Yeah, he still get it done. But what would Crawford have any punches that hurt Canelo? Canelo got a good jaw on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Big dude.
I'd love to see it. I mean,
would it be fast enough to get to him?
Yeah.
Can he touch him?
It'd be a great matchup. Because the Jake Paul thing randomly being thrown in there is weird.
Maybe that's just going to get that money real quick.
It's got to be.
Knock out the bad guy and go get this money, then go do something for boxing.
It's got to be awesome.
But a lot of people are going to be not a fan of that, because you're jumping in and fighting Jake Paul before you're fighting Benavidez. Like, you're supposed to go do that dude right there. He's looking for you, too.
Yeah, that's the issue with boxing, man. We don't always get the fights we should, which is a bummer. Now, the NHL player poll's been released. If you have a no-trade list, what's the team on it? The number one vote, about half the league, said we do not want to go to the Winnipeg Jets. That is the most liked team that's like, we don't want to play for you, okay?
They're really good this year, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But I guess Winnipeg might just be a place that they don't want to live. And the arena's a little bit smaller. There's not much out there, said one player. It's effing cold. I haven't heard a guy go to Winnipeg and be like, this is going to be my forever home. So they like to avoid it. Buffalo comes in at number two, followed by San Jose. The Sharks were your third member there. What coach would you most like to play for other than your own? Pete DeBoer was on here. He got the fifth most votes. But Jim Montgomery, former Stars coach, was actually just ahead of Pete DeBoer. Absolutely. And when you look at the rest of this, man, what coach would you least like to play for? John Tortorella. The guy who's always just, I mean, his post games are electric. But I guess the rest of the league, not a huge fan of John Tortorella. Lindy Ruff, former Stars coach, is also on this list.
Got a few more details on Winnipeg.
Okay.
Wolchuk, you're often dropping below minus 30 in the winter.
I can see why people don't want to play there.
In the summer, when it does warm up, apparently the lakes and the temperature are perfect for mosquitoes. So it's one of the worst places in North America to be in the summer because of the damn mosquitoes. High crime rate. You're looking at high winds as well. So it's balls cold and it's blowing like hell.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah. Negative 30 degrees with a wind chill.
Yeah.
Oh, my And you have the mosquitoes to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm good on that one, man. I'm out of here. By the way, Texas just got the top recruiting class, according to ESPN. We had more signing day today. Texas at 1, Georgia at 2, Oregon at 3, Bama at 4, Ohio State at 5. Your LSU Tigers were at 8, Brian, and the Texas A&M Aggies at 9. There's your Chuck Wagon.
Thank you, sir. Zach Wolchuk and the Chuck Wagon live on Radio Row, brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois and the Low T Center. It's sports hodgepodge time, Chief. What you got? Yes, another notch on the belt of one of our greatest American athletes, plus the NBA already cashing in on Luka to LA. That's next.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're live on Radio Row here in New Orleans. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here's the chief with that sports hodgepodge.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a handful of items to get to here, and we have a new world record from one of our favorite American athletes, one of the most dominant. But I do want to start with Luka and the idea that he's supposed to be playing on Saturday. I don't think if he was still with the Mavericks, if they wouldn't have traded him, I didn't get the vibes that he was right around the corner from I feel like they were going to push that till after the All-Star stuff.
No.
Yeah, I was still planning on another week to 2 weeks or so.
Sure.
You know, before he'd come back. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe at some point they decided we're just going to leave him out while we pursue this trade because we don't want him to get hurt. You know, that calf could be aggravated the KD style.
Yeah.
You know, and now you don't have an asset to trade. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, that was a sign. Either he didn't want to play or they didn't want to play him.
Let me ask you guys this question then. If he's not hurt and playing, they don't make this trade, do they? If he's playing.
If the calf injury never took place and they just took what their December dominance was up to Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's a great point. I think that was the last straw.
I think this whole thing, and I think I've been pretty consistent about this, when you start to talk about Luka's people and the Mavericks people when it comes to his – not his condition.
This was an agitator of that relationship.
This was the one where Nico said, no more.
Yeah.
You know, you should have been ready. If you'd listened to our trainers and work with our guys and gals, you'd have been back on the court 4 weeks ago.
Well, I know some people in the audience are going to think that this is slandering Luka or
not
contributing to a smear campaign.
It's not.
But we've been talking about this stuff for a long time.
Yes.
You know, and we want to cover both sides of the story and consider all the angles because the conversation's more interesting that way. So that's just full disclosure on why you'd bring it up. But, you know, I'd heard that the wrist injury earlier in the year wasn't really that much of an injury. It was a go get in shape. And then there was also the thought or the rumor that while he had this calf thing, they're asking him to lose a lot of weight to take stress off the calf, and he was underperforming the weight loss goal significantly.
Yeah.
You know, so while this is happening and they're thinking, here's the date, let's have a checkup on Luka. Didn't we have a checkup on Luka like 10 days ago?
Yeah.
What if he was heavier or the same weight? And you're like, you know what? Done. And I would not have made the trade. I think they got ripped off. But I think that would kind of explain the chronology of those
events. I think if Luka's playing, we're not even talking about a trade. We're not. This whole thing, the injury and how long it's taken, I think every day it was patience, patience, patience. Now I'm not patient anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we need you out there playing. We're fighting. We got other injuries we're dealing with too. You know, my thing is worry about is Kyrie just getting wore down at the end that he's going to have to play,
which could very
he's
going
to have
happen.
To carry so much. And then when you get to the playoffs, because they think they're going to be better on defense and they think they're going to be a tougher team if playoff time.
Yeah, they're going to need to see if Jaden Hardy or Dinwiddie.
They're going to have to find
make
scoring.
Another move. Yeah,
they're going to have that's
the other guards have to step up and try and help Kyrie.
You talk to people in their organization. They're like, listen, hey, we know we have to go do something about scoring. But we are going to be tough and be able to defend. That's something that they're going to kind of hang their hat on.
Well, the Lakers will be playing the Pacers. How about that?
Oh,
Rick Carlisle.
Oh, wow.
And Luka. That'll be Saturday. It's supposed to be Luka's debut, and so that was not supposed to be an ESPN national game.
Is it at Gainbridge Arena, or is this in L.A.?
I think it's in
sorry,
L.A.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask that question.
I think it's in L.A., but I'll
double check for you.
I might be wrong, but actually,
I could have looked
that
up.
Don't know.
I'm sorry.
But nonetheless, ESPN is now, of course, capitalizing on this.
I think the Mavs lost a couple, too, didn't they? Didn't they lose a couple national TV games now?
They got flexed out.
I think I saw at least two that they took off.
I mean, that might be kind of a shame because I think the reaction here has been to the trade, but it's still a very good team that's very worthy of national broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, you still have two stars in Kyrie and AD.
Yeah. What do you guys think of LeBron plus Luka? There's a little bit of a debate going on. Like, is this going to work out?
I absolutely think it's going to work out. That's a no-brainer. I don't think it'll take as long for LeBron and Luka to figure things out as it did like Luka and Kyrie. You trade for Kyrie, and the rest of that season really sucked. And there was points where they're like playing hot potato at the end of a game and not even getting a shot off because they don't really understand the dynamics between each other. And then an offseason and a training camp later, they go on a championship run together. I would think, I mean, it might take a second, but for the most part, I think LeBron is absolutely embracing the idea of Luka. He loves Luka. Luka loves LeBron. And, we've seen LeBron in the Olympics, like, really, really be a winning player for Team USA and not have to be the ball-dominant scorer guy.
I've never felt like he was selfish at all,
right?
You know, and over the last 3 or 4 years, they've been trying to work in other guys like a D'Angelo Russell or Austin Reeves, and it's just tragically inefficient when he's got to throw it over there. I think he's going to love throwing it over there and getting a rest.
Yes.
Because he is going to have to defend his ass off on the perimeter with Luke
100%.
On his team and Reeves and Connect on his team.
Yeah, but he's also going to, I mean, LeBron's going to be set up for easy buckets.
Yeah.
I mean, playing off of Luka, the amount of gravity that a defense has to shade Luka's way, like LeBron is going to, he's going to have some of the easiest 20-point nights of his life.
And I'm not going to be rooting for it at all, but if they could pull off a recreation of the D-Wade to LeBron Jesus pose alley-oop, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I'm sure they are, I mean, Luka's out for blood now. Windhorse is talking about how he wasn't really portraying it during the intro presser yesterday, but Luka's absolutely seething at the idea that the Mavericks traded him the way it all went down.
It's a terrifying thought, man.
The financial impact of it all for him and just the general shock of it, you know? I mean, he was just as blindsided as we were, so he's still in the anger, and he's the type of guy that he's an assassin.
Like, he gets that fuel, dude.
He will use that as fuel.
You know, you just have to hope that if you do get in a primetime matchup with him, a playoff series, that his emotion works against him as much as it works for him.
The technicals and stuff,
Kyrie in Boston. You know, for whatever reason, Kyrie's numbers against Boston have been horrific ever since he left there.
And I think sometimes Luka wants it so much, and when it's not going his way, he can sabotage a team. Yeah. And that was Windhorse's rant about him last year in the finals.
Yeah.
By the way, Wendy bringing the takes is weird. You know, I don't like this. I've seen more Wendy on TV over the last couple of weeks than I have, the last couple of years. He used to just do reporting, and now he's on there as a hot take, like, rant guy. It's just weird. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, he has ventured into those waters a little bit.
Yeah.
He has.
They've encouraged him to.
Like,
remember when he did the whole thing with the Utah, and he was, you know, the meme of him holding up his fingers, I'm telling you, I'm crystal ball man, you know, all that stuff. So I think they've encouraged him to be that guy more than.
Well, he's also said, like, there's no guarantee that Luka is going to re-up with the Lakers, this summer and sign the extension. So he could go into a contract season with the Lakers and see how things play out. Like, for the Mavericks, he would have obviously signed it because it was the Supermax, and he was able to get that being with the Mavericks. But now that deal's no longer on the table for him with the CBA rules and stuff now being on a new team. So Windhorse is like, you could easily see Luka playing, you know, the final year of his deal next year with the Lakers, and then could be a monster 2026 summer if the Lakers don't put the pieces around him.
What if he came back to Dallas because
when Nico's
Nico
gone,
got let go?
When Nico's gone, I could absolutely see Luka coming back. I mean, Jason Kidd came back.
Yeah.
I think certainly Luka Doncic could end up maybe ending his career in Maverick.
Mark Cuban gets a group together to buy the team back.
Could happen. That Pacers game, by the way, so Mavs-Rockets tips off at 2 in Dallas on Saturday. An hour later, Pacers at Lakers on ESPN. So it is a home game where Luka will make his debut.
Wow. I can't wait to see what his over-unders are, prize picks and whatnot.
Yeah,
the more or less. Yeah. I know, Walchuk, you saw this. The Rangers are going to be doing a Whataburger jersey giveaway.
With Jake Berger. I know, dude. Isn't that perfect?
Jake Berger, Whataburger. Well done, guys.
It's amazing.
It
I
looks,
love that.
It looks great, and it looks like it's got like a hood on it too. And inside the hood, it has like little. It depicts all their sauces, as okay. if it was in their. You know, so you see the. I think that's what that is there in the hood of the jersey, but that's going to be sweet.
Whataburger's always been great to us when we reach out to them.
Whataburger's
the best.
Maybe
we can be involved.
I hope that we were broadcasting live from Globe Life Field that day yeah. so we can get
They've
our hands on
They've done some
classy
looking stuff. I mean, the Marcus yeah. Simeon Whataburger jersey a couple of years
our
ago
flag.
Is what inspired the G-Bag flag.
Yeah,
you know,
our flag.
I thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so if Saquon Barkley wins the Super Bowl MVP, apparently Jake Paul is probably betting a lot of money that that's what's going to happen because Jake Paul made a video and said this is a message for Saquon and Saquon only. He says, if you win the Super Bowl MVP, and I think you can do it, brother, he says, I will give you one of my Ferraris. So just a little added,
I'll give you one
added
of my
incentive there.
Can for, I pick the one I want to take?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what the stipulations are going to be. I don't know if that means, hey, you get the car and you get the monthly payments on it. I don't know how all that works, but a little added
you
incentive.
You think he's probably got that thing paid off, don't you?
I honestly don't know how some of this stuff works, man. I think they might be leasing these badass cars
because these
and
dudes,
then they turn and burn.
I think these
D&M
dudes,
style.
Like a car like a Ferrari, I think you'd want to buy it.
If you're a collector?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you own one, I think you want to own it because you want to hold it. Is
yeah.
what I think
you
want to
have it as yours. I think yeah. like a financial advisor would say, you know, the car is going to depreciate a lot more if you're just flipping it. But if you're a collector and you're like, man, I want to have this car for the rest of your yeah. life, then yeah, I think buying it makes a lot of sense.
But I saw a Formula One car go the other day, a Mercedes Formula One car from the 50s. Went for $34 million.
Oh, what?
The Ferrari's my dream car, though. No disrespect to the Mercedes yeah. or the Lamborghini. I just think that thing looks so sick. You know, so
Ferraris are beautiful.
And I would.
What's your color if you're in a Ferrari? What's the
it's
color?
It's automatically
red.
Red.
Yeah, red.
Okay. Well, red, but they
Jake
could go
Paul's
black.
Looks, it's yellow.
Yellow or black. They go yellow or black yeah. too. Is another one they have. Yeah.
Jalen Milroe, Alabama quarterback. Now
probably should be a wide receiver.
Okay.
I was thinking
running back.
I'm thinking running back with the way he runs and how freaking strong.
Oh,
and
he's strong
he is.
Now. He killed LSU.
He go Jaquindon Jackson just transfer over.
Well, he was asked about that. He was on Radio Row today, oh. and his response to switching positions. Did you see it?
Did he give him the double?
He's not into it. I don't think he wants to do it.
I don't blame him.
He didn't get down on all fours and bark like a dog over it.
He actually sort of did.
Really?
He says.
Or did he lift his leg like a dog on all fours?
He says you don't ask a zebra to be a dog.
Okay. Ooh.
That was his response. But I'm like, but. If you're saying you're a zebra, Jalen, you are built more impressive than a normal zebra. You are much faster, much stronger, much better running with the ball in your hands than the average zebra.
The zebra kick is pretty intense. The zebra kick,
hind leg.
Oh yeah,
deal.
When they get in a pack of like animals trying to get that kick. Is tough.
See, it's guys like this, though, and Anthony Richardson, Tim Tebow, just dudes that play quarterback, but you know they have a skill set. You want to get the ball in their hands, but you don't necessarily think they're an NFL pocket quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
This goes to my new offensive theory. We got to get more double and triple passes involved.
Yes.
We're throwing back across. And I think this season we saw more than that than has been around. So
okay.
I know there's a lot of brilliant OCs that are out there.
Okay,
I have nothing
Bones.
To back that claim up.
Go get them, Bones.
I'm going to tear your ass up, Brian.
Yeah.
We're going to score 70.
Go get him, Bones.
Oh, look at that. You're on the other side of the field. There goes the ball. And what's then, faster than Saquon Barkley? The football.
And then me and Wolchuk in the postgame. Yeah, can you believe that idiot Dawson wanted the yeah. double pass?
Yeah, we had 13 possessions. We had 4 turnovers and scored 9 touchdowns. Okay? Have fun with that.
We won the
I'll
game.
Take the damn 9
we
touchdowns.
We won the game
That's
with 4
sure.
turnovers.
Gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I just have visions of Lamar Jackson and shotgun, and there's Jalen Milroe to his right. Is
yeah.
he a running back
what
on the play?
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Or is he yeah. is he throwing the ball on this play?
Oh, this is a crack toss. Wait, the running back's turning around. The quarterback's over there. You know, the defense is, you know, they're too fast. They're too good. They're too organized right now. Yeah. We got to think outside the box more.
Our buddy Joey Jaws, one of the greatest American athletes and competitors this country's ever
you
seen,
say.
He has set another world record. This time he battled the schmear.
Cream oh. cheese?
It was a bagel.
Oh,
bagel and cream cheese.
Okay, so both together.
And it was at the World Bagel Eating Championships.
15 bagels in 5 minutes.
Held in Las Vegas.
Dude, how many did he get?
He actually, I would like for you guys to guess. It was 8 minutes.
Okay, 8 minutes?
He had 8 minutes. He, so he had set the world record.
The bagels, were they whole bagels or is he eating half?
No, these are whole bagels.
And he had smear on
them. This is top and bottom with the schmear.
Together.
Man, those are so hefty. That's not a hot dog or a hot dog bun. Yes, and it's like there's smear. There's the dryness factor. I don't know if these were toasted bagels or not. I didn't actually watch. This is sort of, I'm box scoring this one. I didn't actually watch the game, so I don't know technique-wise.
Said 8 minutes, right?
Actually, I like your strategy there. Could probably pull it up, but 20, I don't know if he 21? I don't know if he was doing the 20, dip.
21 bagels. 21
bagels. I was thinking 24.
Yeah,
21 bagels in 8 minutes.
About one every 20 seconds.
Yeah.
DJ Pridemore has given me the 32. Is that what you did?
32.
32. Well, then this is going to feel a little underwhelming.
Well, was it 18?
It was 15.
Okay.
15 full bagels with cream
record.
Cheese. It is a world record. And
I love bagels and cream cheese.
I love it so much.
I could punish four easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Too.
2 minutes is still a very impressive number.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Like two bagels
it's a thick bitch.
Per minute. I think I'm looking at like maybe 3 minutes a bagel.
I wonder how much schmear was on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'd almost want more to like help moisturize the
absolutely.
The,
yeah, because it can be very dry.
So I was thinking if you could get a layer of butter in there, it kind of compresses it and makes it, you know, juicier.
The richness of the butter, I think, would really hurt your ability to want to eat more of them, though.
Yes, but if you sprinkled cinnamon and sugar on it, it would reverse that effect. Do you guys think
cinnamon sugar bagels.
Went with the water dip on this one, or?
No.
Well, I think so. The only clip I have is him being awarded the, you know, the world
might,
champion bagel.
I might give
trophy.
Dawson. I might give Dawson $100 if he would eat two bagels with cream cheese on them.
Ooh, that's hey, what can you turn that $100 into at Caesars? Probably zero pretty quick.
One hand over.
There's your hodgepodge, boys.
Thank you, Chief.
I'm going to go throw up in my hotel. We're live on Radio Row where Chief is distraught. He hasn't eaten anything in over 4 hours, which I think is a personal record for him.
Yeah. If the missus is listening, please forgive him.
Okay, we love you, Sugar. The Fan After Dark. We'll see what Fred and Blake have cooking for you next right here. It's the G-Back Nation on The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. A dramatic scene here on Radio Row as two pigeons from outside of here in New Orleans have wandered all the way into the conference center and then on to Radio Row officially as police dogs that are sniffing for explosives and stuff. One happens to be a German short-haired pointer, and that thing is at attention looking at those at pigeons. You just give me the word, boss. just give me the word. I think DJ's over there feeding them.
Let me at him.
We joked that the Eagles had arrived here on Radio Row as the pigeons sauntered in, but I guess that's just cope. That's all that is. As we get set now here for the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake, and a good evening, gentlemen. How we doing?
Good. I'm nervous. Did you just say pigeons flew in and there's dogs that are weary of them? This could are you
guys
they're
okay? Well, you never know what could happen in the background here, but they are properly trained dogs, but they're ready. You know, they're ready to do whatever work is necessary, and that's a bred hunting dog right there that they have repurposed, you know, for a special set of skills. What do you guys think of this Micah Parsons quote? I'm afraid Derrick Henry wouldn't have even helped us. We were that, .. Then he picked up. Derrick Henry should be blessed because he played with Lamar, and he almost ran for 2,000. The hypothetical sometimes can sound pretty good, but, man, we struggled so much that I don't even know if Derek could have helped us. It would have been another Tennessee Titan year for him.
Wow.
Ouchie.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, it just it highlights what Peyton Hendershot said, you know, yesterday or the day before, whatever it was. It's been going around the rounds about, you know, the biggest difference in Kansas City and Dallas is one team's focused on winning games, the other one isn't. And so that kind of underscores and belies essentially, you know, I mean, and look, I understand what he's saying, but at the same time, like, really, we don't think that in some way, shape, or form, Derrick Henry would have helped. I mean, he saw with his own eyeballs the difference in that offense when Rico Dattle finally started getting legit carries. And you don't think that a guy like bringing in one of the best running backs, maybe the best running back of the last decade, Micah Parsons legitimately doesn't think that bringing him in would have helped the offense. So, I don't know what to say to that, really.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good point, though, you know, about what Peyton said. And I think he also talked about how the CD Lamb thing, they just didn't come together for some reason. Did you feel like that covering the team? And my question would be, is this having a lame duck coach? Is this, you know, the consequences of, you know, inviting that kind of culture, I guess, or lack of accountability into your building?
Well, I mean, it's one of those deals where now we're starting to get all the riffraff and all the things that, you know, were going on during the season that we didn't hear about, or as we're, you know, as like your girl Josina talked about the day before, whatever it was, where, you know, people hear things, they don't say it necessarily, and then, of course, after the fact, now we start getting tidbits about what was really going on. So it just kind of feels like we're starting to get data dumped on just maybe how dysfunctional things were behind the scenes. But before we go on any further, I just got to give a bravo Zulu, since you guys had the Navy guys on earlier, to Eric Chiafalo for the yeoman's work he did with Paige sitting next to him today. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know that, you know, it was casual Wednesday today. My God, I don't know what human man with a functioning you-know-what would have been able to help keep himself together in the proximity that he was during that interview today.
I appreciate that, Fred. Comported himself well.
I the RJ Choppy video I saw, where was Wolchuk at? Because we couldn't see where his eyeballs were. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not trying to throw my man under the bus. I'm a woolly bully guy. But I'll tell you what,
pretty close.
Wolchuk actually had his eyes closed throughout the entire duration.
I was trying. It was so difficult, Fred. Andrew Williams, who is our boss over at BetQL now, BetMGM, had to come over, give me a handshake, and said, "Man, the struggle was real. I could tell. But you handled it well."
Man, yeah. It was hard listening.
It was good, man. It was, and I thought she handled all the questions well.
I'm surprised we didn't get a follow up on the big mouth comment, though. I was hoping somebody would have.
We're two gentlemen like
you guys
that.
Are. We kept it.
We kept
professionals
it above board. Is a KD dream alive at all for you guys?
No.
Nothing.
No. I'm a firm believer that Nico will literally throw out any name right now to defuse the Luka hate that he's getting. So, I mean, hell, for all we know, Mike might come out of retirement the rate this thing's going with Nico.
What's coming up on the show tonight, gentlemen?
We got our boy Adam Bailey from Bleacher Report. He's going to talk, obviously, we're going to get into a little bit more of the Luka stuff. Look, we got to start getting into AD stuff, though, okay? Like, let's start focusing a little bit. I mean, AD's here. Obviously, he spoke yesterday. We'll hear from him today. It looks like he's going to make his Mavericks debut tomorrow is what it sounds like against the Celtics. So we'll discuss that. We'll get into a little bit of this Cowboys stuff. I don't know if you guys heard. Apparently, shout out to Mike McCarthy. Help Brian prepare for the interview with Jerry Jones. So we'll discuss that a little bit. And then, of course, obviously, we talked a little bit about what Peyton Hendershot said. And can we feel at all excited and or optimistic about this Dallas Cowboys team?
And our top five.
Oh, look at that. All right. Looking forward to it. Fan After Dark is next with your guys, Fred and Blake. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup back there. Master Control just went five flawless once again. Thanks to Wolchuk and Chiafalo and Broadus and DJ the DJ Don Pridemore here, remote engineering for us, Tim Collins, and, of course, Carter Freeman. Back tomorrow at 2. Thanks to our sponsor, Stella Artois and the Low T Center. We'll talk to you tomorrow. You're going home with the Nation. At ease.